There are very few stories in the Bible where you have the dating experience and the marriage experience recorded in the Bible. In fact, we could only think of two in the Old Testament, two stories in the Old Testament that record the dating experience and then the marriage experience of the couple. Can anyone help me identifying what two marriages in the Old Testament included the dating experience that they had as well as the marriage? Someone give me one. Yes, Ruth and Boaz. That experience when Ruth came back and the developing relationship that led to that marriage. There's at least one more, and maybe you can think of a third one, but we had one more. Jacob and Rachel is the other one. Anyone else can think of a third one? Because we're always learning in the Old Testament. So we talked about their dating time, things that led up to the marriage as well as the marriage. Now, what about the New Testament? I can only think of one. And the New Testament talks about the dating experience or the experience that they had that led up to their marriage and then afterwards. Can you think of one in the New Testament? Joseph and Mary. Right, Joseph and Mary. That is recorded in the Gospels of their experience before and that led up to marriage. And today I'd like for us to take a look at Joseph and Mary's experience, because where the other are very interesting stories of how God led, what's unique about Joseph and Mary's? Not only was their marriage approved by heaven, it was chosen as a marriage to receive Jesus. And as the scripture reading said, when the angel spoke to Mary, he said, "You are highly favored." So when you take a look at the marriage relationship between Joseph and Mary and their home that welcomed the baby Jesus, you will be able to find, and we'll be able to find in the Bible account, some principles that will enrich our marriages and will honor the wives and mothers as we take a look at how God views the mother role that Mary was to embrace. So let's read two small portions of Scripture as we go into the topic, and then from that, branch out into the principles that these passages bring to us. The first we'll go to is Book of Matthew. In the Book of Matthew, we'll begin at verse 18 and read to 25, and this is a glimpse into the character of Joseph. And then we'll go to Luke chapter 1, and we'll read the Scripture that focuses on Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, it says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So that's a little picture into Joseph, and there are some very, very significant characteristics there that a husband brings to a relationship that we want to pull out in our message today. Now go to Luke chapter 1. We have a glimpse here of Mary, and that begins in verse 26 of chapter 1, the first chapter of Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So it's interesting, not only do we have a picture here into two individuals, these two individuals have already made a commitment to become married. And in this commitment, they both have the picture here of who they are. And when you take a look at it and realize, you are highly favored, Mary. You are the chosen one to bear the Son of God. How would you feel, mothers, if you had an angel visit you this week and tell you that? Well, some of you would be shocked. But remember, nothing's impossible with the Lord, so be careful. So let's take a look at the principles that come out. And the first principle that stands out to me is that in this marriage relationship that's coming together, both have their individual spirituality. Do you pick that up? Both have spirituality. They're not depending on the other. They both have a walk with God. And that's so important when you think of a marriage relationship, when you think of a family that's going to welcome children. The richness of both being spiritual, both having a walk with God, is so important. You'll notice that Mary, when the angel comes in, she is told, verse 28, by the angel, "You are highly favored, one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And as you read through her story, you can see she submits to that. And she said, "Be it unto me as the handmaid of the Lord." Mary has a walk with God. It was not something that started after the angel visited. It was something she had before, and it's something that she brings to the marriage. And how important, and we all recognize. I can remember my growing up, my mother became a Seventh-day Christian when she was 30. And I can remember as we were growing up as boys in the home, she would say, "How often I wish that Dad and I could sit down and talk over spiritual things. It just, he's a good man, hardworking man, he has all those characteristics, but he doesn't have a walk with God." And it's those that are Christian would love to be able to share that. And of course, it's difficult to understand each other when you're walking different roads. So as a quality in a home, a quality that we seek for in life partners, is I would love to have someone that has a walk with God. Now that's more than just being a member of the church too, because I've known of husbands and wives that are members and they may not be on a spiritual journey together. So it is finding someone that wants to have that spiritual journey. That characteristic in the home enriches the home. And when you go back to Joseph, it's the same. So keep your fingers in the two places. When the angel came to Joseph, there was no resistance. There was response. In verse 20, while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. There was a familiarity with that. There was an acceptance with that. When he came out of his dream, what did he do? He did what the angel said. So it indicates that Joseph, too, had a walk with God. And so we look at this family that's going to welcome Jesus. We see the characteristic in the family of the mother. She has a walk with God, and the father has a walk with God as well. The next characteristic that we would identify in that is, do you notice that the angel appears to Mary by herself and the angel appears to Joseph by himself? And you say, that's interesting, because he could have appeared to them when they were together. And that wouldn't have been wrong, but it not only shows you that they had an individual, they each had the unique walk with God, a personal walk with God, but it also shows that in marriage, we are to protect and encourage the individuality of each other. No one is to dominate and control the other. No one is to be lording over the other and directing and controlling. We are to protect the individuality and help each member of the marriage to blossom out to be all that they can be. And the fact that God came to them individually, I think, is significant. He identified the personal walk they were having with God. He also showed the importance of individuality to help that person to be all. Nobody likes to be controlled, dominated, and be a doormat for anybody. And certainly when you get into the conversations of Ephesians chapter 5 of headship, I often see ladies bristle so very quickly as they misunderstand what's being said there. Because if you point to verse 22, it says, be submissive to each other. And if you jump to what it says to the men first, it says, men, be willing to lay down your lives for your wives. Be willing to see that they are fulfilled, to see that they are accomplished, that their desires are realized. Wives, how will you respond to a husband that's willing to do that? Do you have difficulty having your life in submission as well as his life to you? And most wives said, if my husband treats me like that, I'd have no trouble at all. Most of us husbands probably have a little growth in that area, because it's so easy to take power and control when power and control is not what is meant by headship. So, first characteristic we see in this marriage approved of heaven, this marriage that's chosen of heaven to bring in Jesus, in the characteristic of the mother and the father, is that the each have their own personal walk with God. That's a growing live relationship with God. Each brings their individuality to the relationship. Neither one is to control the other. You also see a lot of caring. The next characteristic that I see, especially in Joseph's experience, is that caring for the welfare of the other rather than using or selfishly taking advantage of the other is so important. If you look at Joseph's experience, can you imagine in verse 18, after Mary comes back from visiting Elizabeth, it says in the last part of verse 18, she was found with child. Can you visualize Joseph's experience discovering? She was at least 3 months along when she got back from Elizabeth, and he finds out that she's with child. Can you visualize, gentlemen, ladies, what it was like at that moment when he's looking at Mary? And she either says or he observes, are you pregnant? And she is found with child. Now, most men would have an emotional reaction. They would not be happy campers, and their reaction would be less on the caring side than the declaration, dominant, control, I'm hurt side. So a characteristic that comes out here in Joseph's experience, and also will be shown in Mary's, is that even though I am hurt, even though my emotions are dashed, I want you to know I still care about you. And that is a tough one sometimes in marriage relationships. How do we know that? Verse 19 for Joseph. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And while he thought about these things, behold, the angel comes. So what characteristics coming through here for Joseph? When he found out, how did he react? He did not slam the door and spin the tires and go out and have a beer. He was a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, and thought about putting her aside privately. What an insight into a caring man, deeply hurt, and yet responding in a way that he cared for his wife-to-be. And I think there's something there for us men that we can learn from, because it's so easy to allow our response to be expressed from emotion of hurt and historical perspective, to embarrass, to control, to dominate, and even abuse a wife that we feel has hurt us. When the characteristic of Joseph, the one who was to receive the Messiah in a marriage relationship, was, I care about you even though you hurt me. What a testimony. Now, her caring comes through. There's no statement that talks about her caring, but after he receives the message from the angel, and Joseph says to her, God has communicated to me, and he says that I am to take you to be wife. The silence of her response says volumes. Because I could hear some wives saying, I told you so. Why didn't you listen the first time? But the fact that it's silent, the fact that she doesn't attack him, tells volumes. That I really care about you. I know that you went through a difficult time in trying to sort all this out too. And I am so pleased that God has revealed to you so that you can fully accept me and the privilege we will have as a couple to welcome the Messiah. It is so easy for us to bring a selfish perspective in our marriages and to see a caring, I care about you first. I'm amazed in my pastoral journey to see how many seasoned couples of years, it's still more important to win the argument than to keep a good relationship. And you can win an argument, but to bring a scar or pain to a relationship is far more significant than to be able to say, I won. So you won, but you've lost. So three characteristics we've taken a look at so far about a marriage relationship, in particular the mother-to-be, her characteristics that she brings. Number one, God affirms that the mother and the father should have an individual, personal relationship and journey with him. That's not to be lost. And it is not to stop at the gate of marriage. That in marriage, we should see and encourage each other to grow spiritually, to study the Bible, to have a personal devotional life, to have a walk with God. That the husband encourages the wife and the wife the husband. Secondly, that in marriage we retain and do not lose our individuality. Even though the husband has the responsibility of headship of the home, that is not control, dominance, putting someone as a doormat. I've often said to my wife, the day that you want to take headship responsibility, please take it, because that means you then have to be responsible to see that I am fulfilled, that I am happy, and that I have a successful journey. That's headship responsibility. Even be willing to die as Christ died, it says, for the church. That kind of headship is a very beautiful invitation to submit to each other for the happiness and fulfillment. So a spiritual journey, your individuality and fulfillment, and a caring relationship. Let's go to the next characteristic as we take a look at Joseph's experience with Mary. Both were willing to do what God revealed to them to do in their journey. Sometimes when we sense God's will or leading in our lives, it's a struggle to do what he wants us to do. But when Mary had it revealed to her, this is what God wants you to do and to bring into your family relationship, she says, be it unto me as the handmaid of the Lord. When Joseph was told by the angel, this is what God wants you to do, I want you to take Mary. When he arose, what did he do? He took Mary. And so the willingness to do what God wants you to do is so important in a marriage relation. Because what is the goal of your relationship? What is it that you want to accomplish? And if both of you are committed to do the will of God, how important it is. The next characteristic that you can see, and it's a significant one, is both brought to a disagreement, unselfishness for the caring of each other. You know, they say one of the biggest indicators of a successful marriage is that you have learned, and I'll use the word, you've learned how to fight well or disagree well. If you don't know how to work through disagreements, you're in trouble. People react in different ways. Let me ask you, what's the general response of how people disagree well on TV or disagree on TV? It's either a slam door, it is a kick at the cat, a spinning of the tires, it's going out and get drunk, it's reaction, it is anger, it is loss of control, it is I will bring vengeance, I will get even. If you try that in marriage, what's going to happen? You may as well say goodbye to the relationship. Learning how to respect the different perspective of the other person or the disagreement with what you're thinking of the other person is so significant. They knew how to work through an issue. And you notice in Joseph's experience, it says, while he thought about these things and reflected on what he should do, what a beautiful characteristic. And that is, bite your tongue, learn to think, learn to reflect. Like they say, think twice and respond once. That is the characteristic of Joseph. And how beautiful to see that in this marriage relationship, this characteristic comes out. Remember, it is a marriage that's approved of heaven and chosen of heaven to bring Jesus. And we all can learn from that characteristic that when we have a disagreement, we are good listeners. We are reflective, we respect the other person, and we are willing to seek unselfishly to find the solution, which was Joseph's experience and Mary's too. What else can we find in this story that's very, very helpful? When you take a look at verse 21, it's interesting what comes out in verse 21. It says, the angel says to Joseph, right, you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do you notice a word there that the angel uses that bonds Joseph to the experience that Mary's having in bringing forth the Messiah? What does the angel tell Joseph that he is going to do for the child Jesus? What do you see there in verse 21? He's going to name him. Yes. You, Joseph, you're the one that's going to name Jesus. Not me. I mean, it took all the energy I had and all the willpower I had just to accept that the baby Jesus was going to be born. Not me. No. You come down to the last part of the line of text there in verse 25. Verse 25 says this: "And he did not know her till she had brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now think about that for a moment. The wife is having an experience with God and is carrying out what God wants her to do. And the husband say, "Okay, that's your journey. That's the walk you're on. It's not my walk," he could have easily said. But the angel says, "You are to affirm your wife's journey. You are to call his name. The child's going to be born." And so it is in the marriage relationship that the accomplishment of the spouse needs to be affirmed by the spouse. "He shall call his name," which she was happy to do. When you take a look at Mary in all of this, she took and was willing to take the responsibility for the choice she made. And so it needs to be in motherhood and the marriage. I accept the responsibility of the choices that I am making. It's a maturity, and we need to bring a maturity to our marriage relationships. The consequence was she had the potential and almost did lose Joseph in the mature decision and the responsible decision she made to do what God wanted her to do. And if you are in a dating relationship and the other person is trying to control you and not permit you to live out in your life the principles of Christ that you love, then if they try to interfere with that, it's a message back to you. This is not then a relationship that I should go into. A person who doesn't allow me to follow God and live out the principles I believe. She accepted the responsibility. If Joseph had walked away, she would have continued in her walk with God, because she had an individual walk with God that was not to be dominated or controlled. So when you take a look at this unique marriage, this unique motherhood that Mary entered into in accepting for God's plan for her life, you can't help but be influenced with the thought that God not only approved, not only accepted and entrusted, has given to you and to me a model of how we should, the standard that we should strive for. And we may at times miss the mark, but this should be our goal. And the first is that we want to protect the personal spiritual walk of each other. We want to affirm the individuality of each other in the marriage relationship. We want to have an unselfish caring for the fulfillment of the desires and needs of each in the marriage relationship. We want to have the maturity of accepting responsibility for decisions that we make in our marriage relationship. And we want to follow through to embrace what each other is doing, and you call his name Jesus, which Joseph was willing to do. So as we think about our relationships and where we are and how we can grow, or the relationships that we may get into and enter into, happiness comes to each of us the closer we come to what God has affirmed in his word that's good for our marriages. Sometimes it's not always easy. During the Depression, my grandfather went to the States. He became a Seventh-day Adventist, came back to Nova Scotia. And his family, as he tried to share, blocked out his spiritual influence in their home, even though they're all Christian. And all through the remainder of his life, he never saw any response to his spiritual journey. But after his death, an Adventist pastor came there, became involved, and a wife and three daughters became Seventh-day Adventists. So the point I'm making is, if it is not the ideal that you are in presently or will be in the future, you still don't give up. And as was brought out by Steve in our Sabbath school lesson this morning from 1 Peter, the other can be influenced by your life. Your actions may have more weight than your words. And that's usually true if there is a difference. So I encourage you from the Word that you look to this beautiful marriage relationship and the principles that are there, and from these principles, incorporate them into your own walk with God to enrich your marriage, is my prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for our mothers. We want to thank you for their influence, their unselfish caring for us. And yes, even when they may, as we think, have made mistakes, it has come from a heart of love and compassion for us. We want to thank you for a woman of the Bible, Mary, who was a great mother. One that was actually chosen by her child to be the mother. And as we take a look at her unselfish life, her personal walk with you, her relationship with her husband, we realize many principles that will help us in our own relationships. And where we fall short, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we may come to a more unselfish, caring life before our spouses, to support and encourage and fulfill each other. As we go from this place, may we count it a privilege, if our mothers are still alive, to make contact with them over the next day, to let them know our appreciation, to bring sunshine into their lives today. And to our own spouses, if our children, that we will as well express our appreciation for their unselfish sacrifice in the raising of our children. We thank you that we've had the privilege of worshiping you. We thank you for the beautiful spring day that we can enjoy. May we leave refreshed and encouraged to walk with you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.